If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
Welcome, everybody, to Podcast Unlocked, episode 472. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This is December 1st. This is it, the stretch run of 2020. I'm joined, as always, by Brennan Tyrell. Hello, my friend.
Good morning.
And welcoming back an old friend, Cam Hawkins. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Great to have you back here. And introducing a special guest panelist this week. He came highly recommended. You know, we've been trying to feature new voices on Unlocked this year. And as it sort of started to pick up steam, I'd start to get names. People said, you got to check out this person, that person, which is great. I love that. That's how we meet new awesome people. And one of those awesome people, Ray Apollo from Twitch. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's just funny that people are like, yeah, you should check out Ray. I mean, I appreciate all of you, but it's like, oh, now you're in for it.
Well, you know, the pressure's on now. Now you got to be good. And no, I'm kidding. You're going to be fine.
You know, that's the case. Right. Now I got to perform. Oh, boy. All right. Well, Ray, I'm really happy to be here.
Welcome. Yeah. Give everybody first kind of introduce yourself, and then I want to talk a little bit about your Xbox background, because, of course, the audience demands that you have proper Xbox bona fides to be here. But what do you do by day? When you're not sitting around waiting for us to get started on the podcast, what is the Ray Apollo experience?
Fighting you by moonlight, you know, winning love by daylight. I work at Twitch as a community marketing specialist. I run the Creator Camp over there. So if you want to learn how to stream on Twitch or level up on Twitch, go check out the Creator Camp. So that's what I do during the day. At night, I'm a content creator / streamer. So, you know, talk a lot about anime, a lot about video games, play a lot of video games. Recently started playing Bugsnax, talking about those on PC and having a really, really good time.
Well, that is, of course, a PlayStation experience. On the Xbox side, though, we were talking a little bit before the show, and you said you go all the way back to all the Xboxes.
So my journey with Xbox was always really special. So, I hate to say it. I know you guys are going to. I was a PlayStation kid at first because that was the console that our parents gave us. That's what we were given as kids. It's like we had a PlayStation. But then we started seeing stuff on Xbox, and I was like, what is this? I want that. You know, I saw Halo. I was like, I got to have that. And so my little brother and I, we scraped together the little money that we would get from like our allowance and then doing odd jobs in the neighborhood. And we finally were able to trade in our PlayStation and go get Xbox. And so we got an Xbox and we started catching up on all the beautiful stuff and we absolutely adored it. Had a good time. Oh man, we met a lot of people playing Xbox. We had a lot of friends that played Xbox with us. But then came the Xbox 360 and I was like, oh no. oh, I need that too. Because we were late to the Xbox game because, you know, like I said, we were PlayStation kids. The 360 was coming out, and I was like, I begged and pleaded with my parents, please, please, can we have an Xbox 360? Because I needed to play Halo 3. Like, I needed to play that game. And they were like, no, we can't. You can't have one of those. No, you just got, basically, we was like, you just got this Xbox. You can't have an Xbox 360. And I was like, oh, no, but I really need to finish the fight, Mom. Come on. And so we wait. And then Christmas shows up and we, you know, start opening stuff. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, no Xbox. But then my dad comes home after we open everything up, and in his hands, he's got the Xbox 360 Arcade Edition. Without Halo. That's the best.
So was that 2007? Was that the year Halo came out? So it came out in Halo 3 came out in September. Mm-hmm. So you had sort of a torturous 3 months there until
exactly. It was like, so I played Geometry Wars for like what, 5 months?
You and about 12 million other people. Yeah. So in good company.
Until I got to play Halo. But it was an amazing experience. Absolutely. It was like, yep, I love this. Then with the Xbox One, I actually did not pick it up until Sunset Overdrive came out. I had to have that white Sunset Overdrive edition Xbox One. I said, I'm not buying the Xbox One until that comes out. And that's what I'm getting. And that was the first console I bought with my money, not at launch, but like that was first like big console that I had, like, was like, right, I have enough money to buy this. And so I went and bought it, and it was amazing. I love that game. Sunset Overdrive is still one of my favorite Xbox games.
Do you still, is that Sunset Overdrive Xbox still there somewhere? You got it?
No, I've passed it on to someone else.
I know a lot of our audience probably hasn't seen it. It was a beautiful machine.
It was a gorgeous box. Like, legitimately one of the prettiest consoles I've ever had. Like, honestly. But yeah, I gave it to somebody else who needed it. And I was like, you know, I'm not really using this, so I'm going to gift it to somebody else. But
nice. Yeah,
loved it. I got the Xbox One X because I was like, Anthem's going to run great on the machine. Nope. So I love that game, but yeah, I had some problems. So yeah, I had my Xbox One X up until we got the Series X here recently, which, man, I love that box. It's in my
room. So you were able to get yourself a pre-order.
I was online refreshing for like, you know, an hour. I was like, I had my wife in and she was on her phone. I'm like, we're getting this box. We need this. And I got one. And then Microsoft was actually so kind to send me an Xbox Series S. So I have the Series S here in my office, which is fantastic. So
you talk about streaming, which you're doing, you know, you're helping others get rolling on their streaming careers by day and you're streaming yourself at night. Yeah. The Series S is a great box for streaming, right? Because nobody's streaming. You don't need to stream in 4K. You really can't, or, you know, it's not the best use of resources, but the Series S, perfect for streamers, right?
It's an excellent box for streamers. I feel like it's an excellent choice just for people who like video games in general, to be honest. It's a wonderful little machine that makes barely any noise, and it actually kind of blends in with my setup. It's there, and I really like that about that box. So, I mean, but the chonky boy is in the living room on the big OLED TV, so it's great. Right.
As it should.
Yes.
Oh, man. You know, real quick before, because I know I want to get to Cam and get to the news, but you mentioned how you got your 360 for Christmas 07. And I'm thinking to myself, that would have been jumping in at that point. You already had an insane catalog to go back to in addition to Halo, because, you know, you had Gears was out. Yep. Elder Scrolls Oblivion was out. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, BioShock, Dead Rising. Like, you must have just been in heaven for a while with that 360.
I was actually kind of like, it was like the awestruck moment of like, that was the first time I think I'd ever really been paralyzed by like, I have too many games to play. Like, I was like, I don't know what to play. And so, and at that point when, you know, renting games was still a viable thing, I did a lot of that and it was wonderful.
Oh, that is good stuff. Cam Hawkins, DualShockers.com. How is life at DualShockers these days, Cam? Busy, I presume?
Yeah, pretty busy. I actually took this last week off because I had to take care of some family stuff. People will not know who's watching this, but my dad unfortunately passed away earlier this year unexpectedly. So we had to clear out my childhood home and everything like that. And which, you know, there were some positives. I found some old childhood goodies, you know, not Xbox related, but I found like my Pokemon Crystal box and it's in real good condition. It's one of my favorite games of all time. So that was something really cool to walk away out of that trip. But, you know, DualShock is just going well. We're gearing up for like, you know, game of the year discussions and stuff like that. It's that time of the year where we're just trying to play as many games as we missed as we can before that, that we feel like that we need to cover or like get a sense of for that conversation in the coming weeks. But yeah, I'm doing good at DualShockers. You know, it's we're doing good. We're doing good. And
what have you been playing on your Series X?
So I've actually been using my Series S more just because, similar to Ray, I use it for like streaming and stuff that. So I've been playing Ghost Runner, really enjoying that. But I'm going to start up Yakuza Like a Dragon soon. Really looking forward to that. Still dabbling in Valhalla. You know, that's a big game. Got to finish up things in that. And I did play through the Black Ops Cold War campaign on my Series X as well. And I really enjoyed that. It wasn't, you know, I'm a big Black Ops 1 fan. I think that, in my opinion, that's like the best Call of Duty campaign. And yep. I actually replayed it on my on my Xbox One X leading up to the X and Series X and S release, because I knew it was going to be like a straight up sequel again, and that Mason and Woods were back, and I was really looking forward to it. And while the sequel, like this sequel campaign, wasn't particularly what I wanted, I still think it's definitely the most memorable campaign in like a long time, and had some really incredible missions that will stick with me, I think, for a while, to for years to come. So I really enjoyed that, and it looks great on Series X, and it feels great. The shooting in that game like is like on Doom Eternal levels of like quality, in my opinion.
There's good weight to the guns in that game. A really nice job.
At first I didn't know if it was something to do with like, because I was using the Elite Series 2 controllers, I'm like, because I played Modern Warfare, you know, last year, and I know that was like the big generation jump for that, you know, for the Call of Duty series, and I didn't get that feeling when I played that. But then when I was playing Black Ops Cold War, I was kind of messaging my other friends. I was just like, that were playing, I was like, does this feel as good to you as it does for me? Like, you know. So I really enjoyed Black Ops Cold War, and I definitely see myself again, it's probably the new, like, latest Call of Duty in a long time where I see myself actually returning to, outside of just playing the campaign, like whether it be zombies or a little bit of multiplayer.
Well, good stuff.
I think that's the smart. Right, yes. A little bit of multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get rolling. We got some news to talk about. Even though there was a holiday last week, it was the world of Xbox never stops turning. And unsurprisingly, that world is starting to revolve around Cyberpunk 2077. We've got kind of a few connected stories here about Cyberpunk. It's not the only thing we'll talk about this week, but it is going to be the big thing. No surprise here, but it'll just make everybody happy and relieved in case you were wondering. If you haven't been able to procure a Series X yet, or maybe you're just planning to upgrade later and you're going to start playing it on your Xbox One or One X, CD Projekt Red confirmed that your save file on the Xbox One will transfer right over to the Series X. In, again, related Cyberpunk news here about them discussing things, Kaczynski also brought up was asked about multiplayer. Hey, what's going on with that? And he said, quote, "It's a separate dedicated production, a big production. And when we plan, we think about it as a standalone product. Obviously, it's not entirely standalone, as it comes from the universe of Cyberpunk and is very much related to the concept of single-player Cyberpunk. It's another independent production, and an independent team of people works on it. I said we are not focusing right now on talking too much about other future products, so please bear with us in the first quarter of next year, when we plan to share some strategy update, and I believe Cyberpunk multiplayer will be possible, as he meaning as part of that conversation. So they are going to talk in some way, shape, or form about it in the not too distant future. How about Ray? Where are you with the idea of Cyberpunk multiplayer? Are you kind of a wait and see scenario with Cam, or does Are you like totally in or totally out and you just want to be in the single player world?
It is very much wait and see, because I absolutely just want to get my hands on the single player world first. Absolutely. Like, the idea of a multiplayer Cyberpunk sounds really cool. But until like I've actually played the game and like Cam said, to understand if I even like it, first of all, it's like, do I want to spend more time in the world that they're making? Which, I mean, part of me is like, yes, I'm going to want to, but I have to see it to believe it. You know what I'm saying? If it's anything like the GTA 5 online, I'm probably going to be way more inclined, because I really do enjoy that too. So,
yeah. Brandon, you'd mentioned GTA earlier as well. And you got to figure, I mean, yes, Cyberpunk multiplayer is going to be its own thing, but you got to figure that they're looking at GTA Online as kind of the business model and the blueprint for this, right?
Some sort of persistent world. Yeah. That's my thing is, like, I have a pretty good idea that I'm going to like Cyberpunk. I have no idea what a Cyberpunk multiplayer suite looks like. Like, is it deathmatch? You know, is it realistically, though, I think you're right. Like, you're going to play in this big open world with other players doing various different things. And it's going to be designed in order to keep you there and invested in this world after you finish the single player. That's what I think. But I don't know. Like, we haven't seen anything. We don't know anything. So, I think it's a little disingenuous to be like, I'm going to be the first in the door for multiplayer when it comes out in 3 or 4 years, because we just don't know. But, you know, like I said last week, I've been wanting to get into GTA Online for years again, and I just haven't, because life and other video games and other games that I'm interested in that are online. So personally, I think it's got to be something really special in order to do that. You know, like, it's tough to break into a market that's already kind of owned, right? Like, right. MMOs, true. World of Warcraft has MMOs, GTAO has that persistent open world kind of game, Bungie and Destiny have the shared world shooter kind of lockdown.
It's tough
to crack that nut, so we'll see what happens with Cyberpunk. But I mean, if the multiplayer is as ambitious as the single player is, I'm, you know, these guys have a ton of talent. I'm super confident in CDPR.
Side note, oh, go ahead, Ray.
Oh, that was me.
Okay,
I was just saying, I would, because, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 is based off like a tabletop. So I would really like to see like if the multiplayer was kind of like Baldur's Gate type esque, where you have like a party, you know, you have friends that you join in and you guys do these missions together, and like depending on what you do, kind of like affects the world and things like that. That's like, that's ambitious, I know, but like that is, would be something that would really just sell me on playing the multiplayer.
You said my favorite thing. You said Baldur's Gate. And so, absolutely. If it's anything like that, I am 1000% in. Like, just bar none, I'm in. If it's anything like that.
I think there's like, so Cyberpunk Red, the new tabletop game that's coming out or is already out, paired with the 2077. It's very much the tabletop experience. I've played it. It's cool. I don't know that you can translate the gameplay of like Baldur's Gate into Cyberpunk when you're mixing genres like that, because the people who buy Cyberpunk and like, I'm a first person blade wielding cyber ninja hacking spider that crawls up walls and shoots people with shotguns, and then take them from that experience into a third person isometric like tactics game. I think you're totally right. Taking those core principles of like unified storytelling with your friends and having them run through essentially missions like raids or dungeons or whatever in the cyber, like go take over the Nakatomi building. I don't know what the companies are called, but you know, like
that. Die Hard reference, though.
Yeah, Die Hard. It's the first thing that came to my head. That's the first thing that I think that is something that you could pair pretty easily with the gameplay already. But now I'm kind of excited for it, because I'm a huge RPG fan. So
same, big same. Yeah. That you instantly burned my ears when you said that. So thanks.
That's just dream in a perfect world. That's what I would want Cyberpunk multiplayer to be like.
It's so like almost like a stealth action kind of game, right? Like, all right, Cam, you got to go take down the security system. So you go around the backside, take out the guards, plug in, do your hacking thing. You know, we're going to go, I don't know, through the front door, guns a-blazing once everything is down. Like that's such a cool experience. Like if they aspire to something like that, I would definitely be on board.
You guys are basically describing an RPG version of GTA Online's heist, which sounds amazing.
It sounds so good. Like, that's all I want. I keep telling people, I don't even want a GTA 6. I just want GTA Online to be the next game. So, I don't know.
Well, it kind of is for now, because GTA 6 is quite a ways off. And we got that new island coming up with that new heist. That's out in like a week or two. So that's coming right up as well.
But,
so,
but I will say, like, I think the two like big questions I'm curious about is just like, instead, outside of just what the multiplayer is microtransactions. Because, you know, we're talking about how it's going to be, we think that they're going to structure it similarly to how Rockstar does theirs. And they do microtransactions. But Cyberpunk was like, they're big, like, we're not doing cyber like or microtransactions in the single player. So I'm like, okay, let's see how that translates in the multiplayer. So that's one thing. And then also with it being a separate release, will it cost anything or will it be free? Because it sounds like that they're making this just equally as ambitious as 2077 single player, but just as multiplayer. So that'll be interesting to see how that turns out as well.
And those two questions are going to play off each other for sure.
Yep.
Right. Like, you have to look at the business model. If it is going the sort of rumored Halo Infinite free multiplayer way, how are you going to make money off of it? Right. Like, you, it's got to generate revenue, some sort of revenue. So, I could see them doing some sort of like buy-in in the multiplayer, keeping their word about the single player being free of microtransactions if they make it free. But if it's a standalone $60 product, ooh, that might piss people off, because so traditionally multiplayer suites have been tied into, you know, the price of the game. So a lot of interesting questions. I'm curious. I'm as curious to hear what their plan is as I am to play it, I think, at this point.
And Rockstar just broke off Red Dead Online as its own standalone thing. As an option.
That's free to play, right?
Yeah, it's there if you do buy the game, the Red Dead Redemption 2. But if not, you can just buy the online separately. So, yeah, a lot of interesting future business models and things to consider for CD Projekt Red.
This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff, like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked, and that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Next this week, MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, released for PC about a year ago. It is coming to the Xbox Series X. So the news coincides with a delay, actually, and the release coincides with a delay in the DLC for the PC version that, I, as I mentioned, is already out. The developers put up a blog post that read in part, any developer wants their titles to get as much attention as possible. And obviously, sharing a release date with Cyberpunk was less than optimal. That's when it was supposed to come out. They continue saying, day one sales and marketing are so important to a successful product launch, and we believe that rescheduling our release date will allow MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries to have the opportunity and attention it deserves. The good news is that this will allow for a simultaneous launch of MechWarrior 5 across multiple platforms in spring of 2021. It'll be the first time a proper MechWarrior game has been on a console since 2004 when Mech Assault 2 landed on the original Xbox, and they note as well, it will be the first true MechWarrior experience ever on a console. And Brandon Tyrell, I know you can speak to the difference between what Piranha is talking about there.
Between a true MechWarrior experience?
Well, MechWarrior versus Mech Assault is what.
Yeah, so back in the day on the original Xbox, one of the first games that you could play online and competitive online play was Mech Assault. It was awesome. It was very stripped down. You had X amount of mechs and, you know, the game type was simplistic, but it was a very cool experience and it got me into online gaming. You know, Mech Assault 5 is a full, or I'm sorry, MechWarrior 5.
I wish we were on Mech Assault 5. That would be nice.
What a world that would be. MechWarrior 5 is a full blown MechWarrior experience where it's got, you know, your single player story and all that jazz. So you are actually working through missions and building your mechs and maintaining your battalion and whatnot. So slightly different experiences. Actually, considering Mech Assault came out like over 10 years ago, it's probably pretty different experiences, but
closer to 20.
Is it?
Oh, boy.
It's how long it's been. 2003 for the first one. And then the second one would have been, I think a year later, would have been 04.
Yep.
Or no, 02 would have been the first one.
Ooh wee!
Because it was an Xbox Live launch title.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I mean, so I was an Armored Core kid. I played a lot of Armored Core, so that's why I don't have any experience with these because I always loved the look of these. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool, but never played it. So now I'll have the chance to play one, which is exciting. But yeah, I love mechs. You know, giant robots, anime. That's all I'm about. So yes, yeah, please. Man.
Apparently MechWarrior 5 reviewed really well. I think Tom reviewed it for us and he loved it.
8.1 out of 10 on IGN.com.
Oh, great. Yeah, 0.1.
That's great.
Great 0.1.
Great 0.1.
Yes. Yeah, I remember Mech Assault very fondly. Actually more so, the multiplayer was fun, but I actually really enjoyed the campaign of the first one. It did have a cool story. Even if, you know, Mech Assault was more just about getting you into the action and not about the sort of simulation aspects of customizing your mech and maintaining it and all that. But I still chuckle to this day when I think about Mech Assault 2, because the campaign in that, it had a pretty like cheesy nu metal soundtrack, including
yep.
There was a boss fight at one point against like a spider mech, which was completely not in the MechWarrior universe. Like, it was just a dumb video game thing. Like, oh, put a giant spider in it and it's a mech.
Yeah.
What? And while you're fighting
like
this
Wild
thing.
Wild West.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. No, exactly. Wild West moment. Because instead of Will Smith playing a song, it was Korn.
Oh,
so yeah. Jonathan Davies.
As if Korn would be the music that would survive and be your war cry music in the 31st century. Like, Korn lives on 1,000 years. Huh. It just was so dumb.
Oh, man. It's like our Breaking Benjamin moment, right?
A deep end on Mech Assault 2, but
they were like, let's make a video game, but more metal. Yes.
Davis.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Do you guys remember like back in the day where that was just a common thing to have? It's just like a nu metal soundtrack an established band doing music.
Yep.
Whoa. I played a game. I don't remember what it was. It might have been like Tao Fang Fist of the Lotus, which was just this like very interesting fighting game. But I think Static X had a soundtrack on that.
Static X?
Had a song. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wait, hold on. Let me see. Static X.
Wow. I don't think somewhere an angel got its wings from somebody mentioning Static X for the first time in years.
I remember listening to it.
All the way back.
Static. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. No, there were some good ones.
I'm actually not finding much.
Yeah, I just kind of want to like look up like the most obscure licensed music in.
Dude, it's so weird. Like sometimes you'll play like a licensed video game and they'll have like a very popular song on there. And you're like, was that part of the license deal or like how did that work? For video games is like a large portion of the budget.
A present day example, I was pretty surprised. So I've been playing Sackboy on PS5 with my 9-year-old daughter. Loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Funk is in it.
Yep.
It's like the level is like themed to it.
It's actually so great.
What?
Yes, they're both amazing though. Those levels are fantastic. But yeah,
really? Where did this come from? I was not expecting this.
Nope. I was like, is that Uptown? And then I was like, it started like actually playing Uptown Funk. And I was like, oh, okay, this is crazy. But I loved it. It was like, this is very good.
Oh, man.
I don't know how to respond to that. That's crazy. Yeah, that's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for the spoiler. Now I've ruined it.
Yeah, sorry. Oops.
Yeah, I probably would have streamed that game, and I probably would have been just so confused. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, but it's wonderful. I'm not going to lie. It's like some of my favorite levels in the game. So, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, anyway, MechWarrior 5. MechWarrior 5.
Sorry, I just went down a Static X rabbit hole right now. Apparently, they had music in Street Skater 2, Matt Hoffman's Pro BMX, Pro Snowboarder, ESPNX Winter Games, Need for Speed Underground, True Crime, Streets of LA, MTX Motor Tracks, WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2006, Need for Speed Most Wanted, again, Project Gotham Racing 3, Greg Hastings Tournament Paintball, different game, Greg Hastings Tournament Paintball Maxed, another song in there, and Brutal Legend in 2009. So I don't remember what game I was playing, but apparently Static X is well represented in the video game community.
It sounds like they were in half the games of the 2000s.
Yeah, pretty much. If it was an extreme sport, like Static X was.
Most of those games made sense. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
And then paintball.
I can't remember the name of their big hit song, but I would imagine it was most of those games were probably one song.
Several. First of all, Static X had more than one hit song. So I appreciate
you celebrate their entire catalog,
Ryan.
Their discography is lengthy.
Push It, Start a War. There's a bunch of different songs. The one I'm from Brutal Legend is called Love Dump, which I've never heard of. But that sounds
not good.
That's right for that game, though.
Yeah, Tim Schafer would definitely choose a more like deeper cut from the record for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to MechWarrior. It is nice. So this will actually be the first BattleTech universe game on Xbox since Mech Assault 2. Like, it is that long. There hasn't been a MechWarrior, and there obviously hasn't been another Mech Assault game. So I'm really, really excited to see this come over. And, you know, it's interesting. The games we're talking about today all have tabletop roots and sort of these weird like historical roots too, because MechWarrior is BattleTech was a tabletop role-playing game.
Perfect. I'm glad that I'm here for this thing, because that's what I'm all about. I love that stuff. So this is great.
we'll have to play a game of like how many BattleTech mechs can you name? Like different, like there's Atlas and Wolf and a bunch of stuff. We'll do that another time.
I can name two now.
All right. Let's see here. Let's keep it rolling. We've got plenty more to talk about.
Wait, I think Ronin was another one. So that's three.
I'm assuming so.
Nailed it. I want to talk about Game Pass, guys, because it's really good. Cam, are you a Game Pass subscriber? Good.
Of course, yeah. I love Game Pass.
Ray?
Dedicated since day one.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not at this point? And December brings plenty more reasons to become a Game Pass subscriber if you are not already. Here's what's coming up. So in 2 days, December 3rd, our IGN's still reigning Game of the Year, Control, comes to Xbox Game Pass, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. We'd already heard about Doom Eternal coming over. That's in my book, a Game of the Year nominee. I don't know. I don't know where it is in the voting, like with official IGN stuff. But that's it's on my list. That, of course, coming as on the back of the Bethesda acquisition by Microsoft. That's also on the 3rd. And then Haven, Rage 2, another not id Software, but Bethesda game.
Yep.
Made in cooperation with id Software. Slime Rancher, Valhalla, but it's VA11, VA11 Hall A, Cyberpunk Bartender Action.
Don't like that.
Get in on that Cyberpunk.
I do want to say right now, like, because the name sounds ridiculous, that is a great game.
Really?
That is a fantastic game. Yes. Okay. It's actually, for those that like know the Cyberpunk Bartender, you know, that game, the sequel was called Nirvana. It was shown at PAX East earlier this year, but it's like highly anticipated in like the indie game space, like for sure.
Check it out.
Yeah, okay, definitely check it out. Definitely do not sleep on that game.
Nice. Well, glad to hear it. Yeah, because every now and again, stuff like that comes along where you look at it and go, this has got to be a goof, right? And it's like, no, it's totally, totally worth your time.
It just goes to show the power of a good name.
That's true. We stopped and talked about it, didn't we? So yeah. We didn't just gloss over it like we just did to Slime Rancher. I mean, all right, Slime Rancher.
And Haven. Haven is an excellent
Haven is a fantastic game.
If you're a fan of Journey, or you like sort of love stories or relationship stories, or I think, oh God, I might be mixing it up. Combat is kind of turn-based-y, right?
Turn-based, yeah.
Turn-based-y. We're getting there, man.
I'm really looking forward to Haven because that's from the team that made Fury, which is like this basically game where you just can do these like brutal boss battles.
Yes.
And I played that finally this year, and man, that game was so good.
I played Haven demo through the Steam E3 type deal. And
We worked with them for Summer of Gaming and I think Gamescom too. And the folks on that team are just fantastic. They're so awesome.
Yeah.
And this conversation, you know, we're laughing and joking about some of it, but this is actually a perfect microcosm of why Game Pass is awesome, because these are games where you might, if they're just regular games that you buy for whatever their full price is, you might not give them a second look, but you see, you know, Valhalla Cyberpunk Bartender Action, it's Game Pass. I'm going to download that and see what it's all about. And then, as Cam says, it's excellent. And then you end up enjoying and discovering a thing that you never would have otherwise. So this conversation is exactly why Game Pass is great. Yes, Your Grace, which is a very promising sort of RPG. I think it might be some like sim elements to that too. Hmm. We had an exclusive trailer for that, and I'm trying to remember exactly what that game is about.
That's the only game on this list that I haven't heard of before. So,
yeah. And then Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age.
Play that game.
Go ahead, Ray. Yeah, please, because it's like a 100-hour amazing RPG, right?
Minimum. Absolutely play this game. It's a fantastic game, and I love it to death. It's so anime and wild. I'm like, because like this is a game where like you're playing, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm about to finish the game, and then you're like, oh wait, no, I'm not, and it keeps going.
It's like Return of the King. It's like ending 4 of 17. I
guess. But no, I love this game, and I'm so glad there's so many different places for you to play it now. So absolutely play this game. It's a great game. One of the best RPGs I've playing in the past 5 years, honestly.
Yeah. 100-hour game on game as for, you know, a $10 Game Pass subscription. I mean, that's wild.
Worth it.
Yeah, I've also heard very good things about Dragon Quest XI. I haven't played it myself yet. I bought it on Switch, and then they announced the Xbox port, and I was just like, man, now I kind of want to play it on Xbox. it's huge because it's the first Dragon Quest on an Xbox platform, and you know, depending on who you ask, that's a Dragon Quest fan, it's arguably the best in the series so far.
One of my favorites.
You know, it's definitely one of the best JRPGs this past generation. So it's, if you're a JRPG fan, it's like, it's a must play for sure.
Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. I think just shout out in general, just shout out to Microsoft for like actually doing the work to court major, Japanese focused series, right? 100%. Like yep. Dragon Quest is a perfect example. Monster Hunter on the Xbox One X. It was out before the Xbox One X, I think. But anyway, Monster Hunter on the Xbox One introduced me to that series. Then I love that game, and I never would have played it otherwise.
I got
unless we forget Yakuza, right? Is now timed exclusive. Like,
and oh, that's not on Game Pass though, I believe.
No. I'm just saying
bringing it to
their environment. The
Well, but as far as Game Pass goes, like Cam, we can see it behind you. You're a huge Kingdom Hearts fan, and all the old Kingdom Hearts games, hundreds of hours of Kingdom Hearts are on Game Pass now.
Yep. The entire series, outside of the two DS games, which if you're new to the series, if you can play them, I would say play them just for the experience. But if you don't, like, you know, I understand. But all the big ones that you really should play, like, you know, and not watch just cutscenes for, they're there. So that's really great.
We're continuing. There are more Game Pass games for December. This is next week, the week of December 7th. Call of the Sea, which is totally a Ryan McCaffrey kind of game. It is a colorful, artistic, first-person adventure puzzle game. The protagonist is voiced by Sissy Jones, who played Delilah in Firewatch. She's amazing. She's in a bunch of cartoons and other things as well. So that looks great. That was unveiled at, I can't remember if it was the Xbox Game Showcase or it was one of the summer events from Xbox.
Wasn't it E3?
Well, the July showcase was effectively E3.
Yeah.
So it might have been that. I can't remember, but it was unveiled at one of the major Xbox events from this past summer. So Call of the Sea next week, Monster Sanctuary, Starbound, Unto the End, Assetto Corsa, which I've heard is a pretty good racing game, Gang Beasts, Greedfall, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete. Super Hot's awesome.
That's so good. Mind Control Delete is fantastic. It's a great expansion. Please play it.
Yes. And then Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair, that's from the ex Banjo developers, the ex Rare developers who made their own Banjo-like game. So look at all that stuff. I mean, we just rattled off, that was well over a dozen games and good games and some really big names in there too.
That's just about something for everybody on this list. Like that, there's so much variety, and that's what I truly do love about Game Pass. There's so much variety. I feel it's, like, I love to say, and I'm sure everybody else does, one of the best deals in gaming, straight up. Like
I think the best.
Yeah. Get on.
It's funny. I was going to make the joke at the top of the segment, but, you know, I didn't want to interrupt the train of thought. It was just like, hey, here's our weekly segment where we say Xbox Game Pass, still great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cam, go ahead.
I think one of the things that people, I even sometimes forget as someone who plays on Xbox primarily is that, like, you know, because these games aren't on Game Pass forever, but, like, if they're on Game Pass and you like them, you can buy them at a discounted price, which is great to really cool.
Yeah.
Which I sometimes forget, you know, so it's really awesome.
Yeah, that's where you just keep an eye on, see which games are leaving Game Pass, and if it's something you super love or in the middle of and want to, you know, you can go ahead and pick it up at a discount, which is just a great, like, it's the economics of Game Pass are just mostly mysterious, kind of like the economic Netflix. Like, how do they make money? But it works.
Yeah. Where does the money go?
So much value. So much value.
Yeah, I love it. But then also the app is fantastic. I have to point that out. The app is amazing. I love it. Like, I basically switched everything over to, you know, Xbox and Microsoft is like my primary like entertainment source of games a year and a half ago because of the ecosystem with the app and the console and how well it works with Game Pass. I love it. So I can do everything from my phone essentially and be ready to, you know, play the game when I'm done eating dinner. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got
Brandon
too, and I'm getting notifications from Xbox Game Pass like, hey, you should play this game, or now this is available. And I'm not a notifications kind of guy, but I'm really enjoying having them because I'll get a ping and it'll be like, you know, it shows me my achievements and all that. But a fancy techno butler to remind me when games are available to play. Like, I'm digging it. I'm on board.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, on a similar note, actually, there is a new dashboard update, the first one since the Series S and X launch. And the two kind of highlight features of it, you can preload Game Pass games before they come out, which is nice. Like, normally you could do that with games that you bought, but now you'll be able to do that with your Game Pass titles as well, those new releases coming up. So that's awesome. And then dynamic background themes as well, which I am thrilled to see, because you know, you might as well put the 12 teraflops to some fun use when you're not actually in a game, right? So
yeah,
love seeing that. And yeah, the Xbox, it's like Microsoft's committed to this stuff. It really is interesting to see, guys, the difference between the just sort of not even the physical, like, on-screen difference, but more just the philosophical difference that we've seen evolve between Sony and Microsoft. And like Sony, you know, they made more radical, easily noticeable changes, but Microsoft's been more slowly evolving over time, and they're both arriving in these fantastic next-gen places. But it's like Microsoft has had an amazing controller that they've just been slowly evolving. I would argue the DualShock had way more room for improvement, and they have done that, I think, with the DualSense and obviously the look of the consoles is their own thing. But ultimately, they've both gotten to this point where they're fantastic new machines, but I almost feel like poor Microsoft doesn't get as much attention or necessarily credit, because they evolve more slowly. They just kind of, again, it's that PC-like mentality. They're the company that makes Windows. They are a PC company. And I mean, am I insane here, Cam?
No, no.
Do you kind of feel that way as well?
Yeah. No. I think a big part of that is just how the Xbox One launched, you know, and it just put a big sour taste in everyone's mouth, and like whatever they did to try and like get better, like people are like, it's not good enough. And even with Game Pass, like I think people recognize like the value in Game Pass, but then now it's just at that point where it's just like, well, I've already invested so much in either PlayStation or PC, or you know, it's just where I like to play my games now. And it's just, there's really nothing, you know, with the, you know, PlayStation's where the exclusives are, at least for now. And that people just don't think that, while they see the value in Game Pass, they don't think it's enough to make the Switch or to like, to really give Xbox the credit where credit is due. Cause I don't think that, and I don't think that Game Pass is like the only thing that makes Xbox great, but it is like, it would be crazy to say that's not the big factor right now, you know? Like I love my Xbox Series X, I love my Series S, and you know, I have a PS5 and I'm enjoying it. Like I think the DualSense is a huge improvement from the DualShock 4. Like I thought the DualShock 4 was a trash controller. Like not even like, oh, this is okay. I did not think it was a good controller compared to the Xbox One, even the Xbox One at launch. Like I was like, this is like night and day better. And then you know, now we have the series Elite Series 2, and it's just like, this is the best controller ever made in my opinion. And while DualSense is great, like, you know, I still think the Series 2 is the best controller out there. So, and it's, you know, it's probably only going to get better with the eventual Elite Series 3 and all that good stuff. So
Brandon, were you trying to jump in there as well?
I got sidetracked talking about the Elite Series 2. I'm still using my Elite Series 1.
Same, brother. Same.
Well, great. As long as you haven't had the bumper problem that a lot of people have had.
I have it. Yeah. I love this thing.
Listen to those clicks. Smooth. Just like the day it was opened. I agree with what Cam says. A lot of the work that Microsoft has done hasn't been the big sexy CGI trailer reveals. And that's really, you know, the CGI trailer reveals for exclusives that only come to your platform is really sort of the experience that, you know, in my opinion, I've seen Sony kind of gravitate toward, whereas Microsoft has done a lot that is just now coming to fruition and getting recognition that I think it deserves, which is a lot of structural, you know, stuff, a lot of infrastructure and support and services and things that aren't sexy, but you get Game Pass and you get xCloud and you get cross-gen saves and you get all of this other cool stuff that me as somebody who like you know, somebody who will buy another console, I will buy a PS5 to play God of War 2, right? But for somebody who just uses my console for like recreational gaming and can see the value in having, I think the best way to describe it is Microsoft is moving more towards Apple, right? Whereas they're creating an ecosystem for you to be in that will connect everything and make it so simple to use. I don't have a comparison for Sony, but a company that like makes really good products and those products serve a very specific purpose. Whereas I think my Xbox is now sort of my main entertainment node, you know?
Yep, I absolutely agree. And I was going to say that ecosystem. Microsoft pivoted towards building up an ecosystem, a structure that once you're in it, you're in it, and it's full and it's beneficial to you as a consumer, which I really, really appreciate them pivoting towards. I mean, yeah, Sony has also pivoted towards what they're doing best, and I feel like Microsoft finally has started to figure out what they do really well, and that's services and structures that benefit the, which I am all for. Like, seriously. And when you said, like, you know, you don't know the comparison for Sony, it's like Sony, even in the Android sphere, as far as their phones and as their television, they're kind of like their own thing still. Like, you know, a Sony phone is completely different from every other Android phone.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I feel like I love the comparison to Apple now with Microsoft. They do more meticulous and seamless things that just work. I love that. It just works. And that fits here with the Xbox.
Absolutely. And that's one of the huge things about console gaming is everybody who gets into PC gaming for the first time is just like, how do I do this? Like,
drivers.
Drivers. Yeah. Graphics cards. With consoles, they just work, right? So, you know, if your main port of entry into Microsoft's ecosystem is a console, like now you're starting to spread it out and you know, touch on these different services and that they provide. And you find that there's just a sort of quality of life to it, I think.
And I don't want to fail to mention, you know, we have xCloud with your phone. You could get into this on your phone now, which is amazing. I was not prepared for that to work as well as it does, and I love it. Like, I bought an Android phone specifically for xCloud, and I don't regret that. So it's
what's
great.
What's crazy is we're going through the list of games for Game Pass, and it's like Control, available December 3rd for console and Android. Like, That's nuts.
What is this? You know, so it's like, yeah, I got the Galaxy Z Fold 2 and they look amazing on that phone. I'm like, this, wow, video games. I can now play them literally on every screen that I own.
Speaking of Microsoft's sort of ecosystem slowly evolving commitment to gamers, let's do the loot box now. So, guys, if you click watch stream on your screens, you will be able to see this video question that has come into us from Chris Hollis. It is with regard to backwards compatibility. Chris, take it away.
Hey, Unlock Crew. My name is Chris Hollis, and I have a quick question for you guys. When do you think Microsoft is going to bring back adding new backwards compatibility games? Back in June of last year, they said that they would be putting it on pause and to make sure that all the games that ran on Xbox One ran on Series X. And now that Series X is out, you would think that they would be adding new ones back in. For me, I would love to see Halo 1 and Halo 2's original Xbox ports put onto into the Series X. What would you guys like to see?
Excellent question from Chris there. Cam, I'll go your way first. How do you feel about the state of backwards compatibility? Does Microsoft have some more work you'd like to see do? Are there any games you'd like to see come over that are not already compatible?
Yeah, so I actually was looking into this a few weeks ago, and I found out that the games weren't backwards compatible. And granted, it does make sense. But I was planning on getting the original Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 because the remasters are delisted now and they never got a physical release. So you really only have the originals, but they're not backwards compatible for Xbox. And I get why, because, you know, Marvel's owned by different by Disney now, and like there's all these other licensing things that conflict with that, which is why they probably haven't done the backwards compatibility for those two games. But you know, those are two really great games that I would love to play. And, you know, granted, the third one is on Switch, but it would be really nice to revisit those games without, like, having to, you know, dig out an original 360 to play them.
Raven Software, one of my favorite developers ever, did those two games. Ray, how about you? How do you feel on the backwards compatibility front?
So I love backwards compatibility. You know, I've been wanting to pass, so it's like it's not on the, it's not very high up on my list of things that I desire, you know, for, you know, usage for my Xbox. It's, that's not me, but I know a lot of people find a lot of value in that, again, to be able to play games that they already own or can find cheaper relatively to play on their new consoles, which is great. But as far as games that I've been fortunate that most of the games that I wanted to have backwards compatible, they added to backwards compatibility. So I've been very lucky in that. It's like, oh, well, I guess that means I have good taste in video games because Microsoft thinks so too. But I could definitely see them restarting the system when they have kind of established the Series X and S infrastructure more, so that way these games that can be enhanced or, you know, boosted by these machines are, which I get. But I think the only ones that I wasn't sure were backwards compatible, which I talked about earlier, were the Armored Core games, and I think they might be, but I don't really remember, so I'd have to look again. But no, yeah, why not? You have something great there, and it's a leg up that you have on your competition, so please do.
Brandon, any for you?
Not really. I think Microsoft's done a really good job sort of hitting, as you know, as everyone has said, hitting the heavy hitters of the older catalog. So, I mean, to get to the question, I'm not sure when they pick it up again, but understanding that, you know, console generation transitions just add like a lot of weirdness to it. So I get that they want to, you know, spot check, make sure everything is fine. I also think that their priorities right now are on expanding their, you know, their offerings that they have with, you know, the Series X and everything else that they're working on. So I don't know that going back and, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is right now the focus is on the new, right? Mm-hmm. It's on the future. Whereas, you know, maybe later on this year, or I'm sorry, later on in 2021, when things start slowing down and get a little quieter, that's a good opportunity to bring it back and be like, hey, backwards compatibility is still a big thing. You know, you space out your marketing talking points, and you space out your endeavors throughout the year so that you're always bringing something new to your audience. So, you know, I don't have a direct answer for it, and I have no idea, but I could imagine them, you know, kicking things back up in earnest after the initial wave of like new sexy Series X is out, you know, after that newness has died down.
Good stuff. Chris Hollis, thank you very much for that loot box question. I would welcome anybody else out there to leave us your video question. You can do that through the commenting platform Yappa, which is integrated into IGN. You don't need a Yappa account. You can sign in with Discuss, Google, Facebook, or LinkedIn, I believe, are the other four that you can just log in with. And you'll find that right above the comments, the regular comments section. Just log in on whatever platform that works for you for Yappa there and leave us a video question for Lootbox for the panel for next week's show. All right, we've got a few minutes left, guys, and I want to test your Xbox knowledge. This is the Unlock Block trivia segment of the podcast. This is a good one because Microsoft does have a very long, long history at this point. Brad, whose gamer tag is American Game, sends this in.
Nice.
So going slightly off from an Xbox question, I'm going to ask a Microsoft-specific question. Where was the Microsoft Corporation founded? So you guys probably know where they are now, but were they founded way back in the day, the early Bill Gates days, or Bill Gates, Paul Allen days, Seattle, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Redmond, Washington, or Bellevue, Washington. So I'm going to go, let's see. Cam, do you know this one, you think? Should I go to you first, or you think you've got this zeroed in?
I know where they are now, but I don't know if that's where they were founded. So that's okay. What I'm just like, something in the back halls of my brain tells me I think it's Albuquerque.
You're going to go with
Albuquerque.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. Ray, I'll go your way next. What are your thoughts on this?
Something in Bellevue calls me to Bellevue, and I'm not sure why.
Bungie.
He does have Destiny on his screen. I was going to say,
I think I'm going to lock in at Bellevue. Bellevue, all
right. Brandon Tyrell, any thoughts on this one?
I actually know it. Yeah.
Oh.
The answer, Cam, is B. Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well done, guys. Nicely done. Yeah, they founded it in New Mexico before packing up and heading on up to the Pacific Northwest. Brandon,
I would have left New Mexico too.
Early 80s, right? Or the late 70s or early 80s. It was like,
yeah.
They've been in Seattle for, you know, since they've really been relevant, but I think it was started in Albuquerque.
Wow.
Yeah, good job there, Cam and Brandon. Cam, you're on the board as a, like, honorary scoreboard here. And then Brandon Tyrell increasing your lead now. You've just about, I would say, next week you can clinch.
Yeah, yeah, we're at a point now where I've clinched, I think. Oh.
you're up three.
Okay, and we have three more weeks.
Maybe, well, I guess I'll have to check the schedule, but that you may have just sealed it. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out next week when we'll see if we have everybody back. But yeah, good job on that.
Make a GIF of this and send it to Destin for me, would you? You put it at the bottom, Brandon, you have clinched.
What's the trophy this year?
We don't know.
So I need to touch base because that was all pre-pandemic. So I need to touch base with the very nice unlocked listener who was creating the trophy.
Yeah.
If you're out there, feel free to just reach out to me proactively, but I'll try to make a note to do that this week. But it was happening, but we'll see, because COVID has messed with everyone's lives. So
I absolutely understand if that is not a priority.
Yeah.
I don't need a trophy. I just need a picture of Destin in tears. That's all I want.
But hey, keep those Xbox trivia questions coming, because I can always stash some new ones for, you know, the rest of this year and then into next year when we get back from the holidays. And you can send them via email, and the email address is unlocked@ign.com. Include your question, 4 multiple choice answers, and please note the correct answer in your email. All right, we've just got a couple minutes left here we've got 2 minutes left to wrap up. Ray, I want to go your way first. Where can our audience, now that they, by the way, you successfully, you did it. The pressure was on. You came through. You were fantastic. Now, seriously, though, you were great today. Really great. This is my first time, like, talking directly to you, and let alone podcasting with you. Loved having you on. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's one of those things where I was like, oh, man, I get to be on a show that I have been listening to for a very long time. And it's still very surreal. But, you know, I was like, oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's so weird.
I know. It's crazy to me. But thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast. It's awesome to be able to talk with you guys. And Cam, it's so nice to actually talk with you in person as well. So thank you for being here. But I'm Ray Apollo everywhere. Just R-A-Y-A-P-O-L-L-O, no space. I managed to figure that out when I was younger, and I don't know how. So yeah, I'm basically that on every platform. But like I said, I create a lot of content, a lot of fun videos, a lot of memes, talk about anime a lot of Xbox still. If you could see, but like a lot of Xbox in my life. I just like to have a good time. I like to spread joy is one of my things that I like to do. Like, that's what I am about. Like, if I can have a good time, I'll make sure I'm having a good time. But I also understand that life is rough. I mean, we're all living through COVID and it's not been fun. So I just try and have fun where I can. So no, that's just the gist of it for me. So yeah.
Awesome. Cam, great to have you back. Thanks for coming back on less than 2 hours notice this morning. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. I woke up and I was just like, oh crap. Okay, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, absolutely. It was no problem whatsoever. I love being on anything IGN, love Unlocked, love to talk about Xbox with you guys. It's been a pleasure.
And where can we find you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at CamFinalMix, and I stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/CamFinalMix.
Fantastic. Brandon Tyrell.
Hey, hi, I'm Brandon Tyrell. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Tyrell. Just my name. I just want to reiterate how awesome it is to have you guys both on. You're both super positive and jovial guys, and I know I need all of that in my life that I can get. So it's been really awesome having people on and you know, getting to meet Paris and Fixer and Cam and Ray, and you know, you guys are great. And so just really appreciate, you know, you jumping in and brightening all our lives.
I mean, I love all those guys except for Paris. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I love you too, Paris. I guess.
I guess. Starting, is this going to turn into a cooking thing?
It's a gyro beef.
It's a gyro beef. Yes.
Don't start another war.
Paris has already been destroyed by Kyle, so it's fine.
Oh, man.
The beef, the real. Ooh.
People listening to this are going to be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I know. This is real inside baseball right now.
So. It really is. Yeah. This is baseball. Yeah.
Well, let me wrap it up here. You can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. I don't know if I have any like specific things that I've...
Yeah, you do. Really, started the day.
Well, yeah, I guess we're doing the IGN first thing for December where we...
Way to sell it, Ryan.
Well... You know, it's only December 1st, and I'm very much like assembling the plane in mid-flight on this one, if you know what I mean. So
the wings are on now. We just gotta work on
maybe. We're off the runway at least, and we have lifted off, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll go well. But yeah, we're taking a look at a bunch of cool games to look ahead to in 2021. So it's kind of a one new game every day or in as many days of the month as I can fill. Today was King of Seas, which is it's not exactly Sea of Thieves like it's a pirate themed action RPG. Looks pretty cool. We got 15 minutes of gameplay of one of the developers kind of running you through some higher level stuff on it. So take a look at that if you're interested. And I will say, actually, you know what? I won't tease it because teasing always backfires. But I'll just say there is an Xbox thing that I think people will like coming up soon. But don't turn it into a big thing. It's not Halo. It's not Fable. Just
they've already done it.
I know.
Right
it's
now.
Too late.
You heard it here first, guys. Avowed. Sneak peek.
Yeah. Fable. The world reveal. Like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, too late.
You really need to set your expectations.
I know.
Here. We're going to show off some horse armor.
I'm very excited for that. I have a little tiny update on. So
I'm excited too.
Yeah, cool. I'll leave it at that.
Cool. Looking forward
well,
to it.
For Ray and Cam and Brandon Tyrell, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Podcast Unlocked, episode 472. Thank you to producer John Borba, and we will see you back here next week.
We are the hosts of Comic Sans, the podcast about comics for those who are sans knowledge. I'm Yen, a reader, writer, liver, and breather of comic books.
And I'm Nat, and I know absolutely nothing about comics.
Which makes both of us authorities in our respective fields.
Exactly. Hey, wait.
On Comic Sans, I make Nat read some of my favorite comics, including Sandman Saga and Lore Olympus.
And Yen tells me what makes that comic special.
Then I hear what Nat thinks, and I try to avoid a pulmonary embolism.
While I actively try to give him one.
Listen to Comic Sans on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can already binge our first season, and we just released a special bonus episode on Across the Spider-Verse.
Hey, Nat, before we go, I'll give you $50 if you can tell me what Comic-Con is.
Is it related to Chili Con Carne?
Do you mean chili con carne? Maybe we should be Chili Sans.